Good morning and welcome to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. It's a nice day. Most of the province seeing sunshine today, which will be great. I mentioned that baseball game that'll be happening in Saskatoon tonight. Saskatoon Berries, Regina Red Sox, game three. The deciding game winner goes on to take on Sylvan Lake Gulls for the championship for the league. So that'll be a good one. First pitch goes out just after 7 o'clock tonight. You heard in the newscast some flight delays due to a WestJet outage. Some passenger delays at the departure gates in Calgary, which has basically then now affected Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. There's a variety of different airports that are affected. So even though the delays are in the bigger airports, you know, here in Saskatchewan, if you've got WestJet flights going out today, they could be affected by that. Speaking of which, the Air Canada flight attendants calling for an end to unpaid work in their day of action yesterday. You saw them out picketing Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Vancouver. So not a withdrawal of services yet. It was, they've taken a strike vote. They haven't given their strike notice yet because they're actually in a cooling down period. They've been going back and forth since the beginning of the year trying to get a contract here. Union filed for conciliation in May. That ended last month. The union called July 25th for a strike vote. A 21-day cooling off period began when the conciliation period ended, which means the strike vote could take place, but job action could not. So it's Friday that the cooling off period ends. You could be seeing strike action or notice at least being given as early as first thing Saturday morning. So anyone who's got air travel in the next little while, particularly with Air Canada, there could be implications as early as this weekend with regard to what's going on there. So we'll continue to follow that. Thanks again, Dwight Newman, who stopped in this morning. He is our constitutional law expert, and we were talking about the case that was just ruled on yesterday. Came out, the Saskatchewan Court of Appeal ruled that the court case is allowed to go ahead. This is the challenge to the pronoun law in the province. I have to say I was surprised. I mean, I know the teachers have been involved in this. The STF has applied for status at this trial when it goes ahead. The STF feeling as though it puts students in harm's way and puts teachers in a bad position. And these situations, I think back to we were doing some lobbying back in my days with RPS for what we called gunshot and stab wound legislation. Because here's the case. People could end up being shot, being stabbed, show up at the hospital, say to the nursing staff, I don't want you to call the police. Yes, I've been shot twice in my abdomen, but please don't call the police. We don't need to involve the police in this. And nurses, of course, would have to obey what the patient wants, picking up the phone and making a phone call, going against what their wishes were, was up until a law came into place, something that nurses weren't willing to do. A law comes into place that says, we believe in our province, we need to be a society that reports, investigates, and hold offenders accountable if they shoot another person. So what happened there was a decision was made by the province. Legislation is put in place that basically takes the decision out of the nurse's hands. So if you're a medical professional working in Emerge, for example, and someone shows up with a serious stab wound, a gunshot wound, regardless of what the patient says, a decision was made through the province that that will be reported to police. Now, there were nurses that were worried about this, saying, is this going to jeopardize our safety? We've got someone who's a gangbanger who shows up here. He's been shot. He's saying, I don't want you to call the police. And we say, sorry, we have to call the police. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those situations where we worked with nurses in the province to make sure that they understood what their role was and to understand why that responsibility was important. But again, do we live in a province where we expect those types of crimes to be reported, investigated, and ultimately hold the offenders accountable who do them? The answer to that is yes, we do. So the law comes into place. This law, the pronoun law, not exactly parallel to it, but the conundrum that I talked about the nurses found themselves in seems to me to be similar for the teachers. Because the teachers are saying, this is putting us in an awkward position. If we have to call the parents because of, a student who's under the age of 16 who wants to change their pronouns, who wants to change their gender reference while they're at school. You know, I said this yesterday. I have a tough time not being able to see why parents need to be involved. Parents are signing off on your children under the age, especially under the age of 16, for everything from school trips to, I remember one year we had a child in one, I think it was my daughter's classroom, who had a peanut allergy. And so we had to sign a form saying we weren't going to send anything with peanuts in it into the school through my child's lunch. So though, I mean, those are pretty small issues. Something as big as this fundamentally seems as if it's something that parents should be involved in. Now, I said this yesterday, we recognize that this is not a big issue. This is not an issue that is happening every single day. It is quite rare. And when it does happen, teachers have said, the majority of times, the parents are involved. The parents are aware. The parents will be talking with the school. So it is very much extremely rare that this happens where the student is requesting it under the age of 16 and the parents have no knowledge and there's a fear that there could be danger to the student if this goes ahead. In those cases, I trust that there would be mechanisms in place that would allow the schools to keep the student safe while adhering to the law as well. Anyway, this is one of those cases that has, we've spent a ton of time on this topic over the last couple of years. In fact, long before I was on this show, John was talking about this a lot as well. When you look at how big the problem actually is, it's quite small. Yet, it's a topic that continues to consume the air. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are officially open. So, this pronoun law is going ahead. You just heard Dwight Newman talk about it is constitutional and how the notwithstanding clause was used. Does it infringe upon rights is probably what will come from a court case now that it's been deemed that it will go ahead. And then what are the consequences of that? That is yet to be determined. So we'll continue to follow that along. A couple of other stories I've been following. This case from the United States where U.S. President Donald Trump has basically said, okay, enough's enough. We've got to clean up Washington. And he decides that he's going to bring in the military to do it.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act, you know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly.
It's crazy to me that it's going this way. He further went on to define the issue. What is the issue in Washington?
Our capital city has been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs and homeless people. And we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to take it. Yeah, just like we did on our southern border. Nobody comes to our southern border anymore.
So he's taken command of the police department, deploying the National Guard under laws and constitutional powers that give the federal government more sway over the country's capital. That is very unique to that city. It's not a power that he has necessarily for other cities as well. So it'll be interesting to see where this plays out. There are mechanisms in place in the United States, it's very different this way, that give the Department of Justice the ability to step in and essentially take control of police departments. It's called consent decrees. That's not what this is. So it's a special nuanced piece of legislation that the president is using. It seems to be running head to head with what the mayor of Washington, D.C., thinks needs to happen. The mayor feels as if crime is coming down. This is unwarranted, unprecedented, and not the right move. So we'll continue to see that play out as well. Okay, we'll take our break. I know I've got a few people lined up on the phone line. Text lines are open for you as well. It's open phones, open lines for you here today, right up until 10 o'clock. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a Tuesday morning. A story that we are following, developing actually just came out this morning. Chinese government imposing a new 75% tariff on Canadian canola seed to begin in 2 days from now. This is the latest development in the trade dispute escalated a year ago, of course, when Canada announced tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles and steel. So the new tariff on canola seed, again, just announced today, a preliminary result of the anti-dumping investigation the Chinese Ministry of Commerce launched in the fall of last year. The result of that said that it basically ruled that there was government subsidies and preferential policies that led to overcapacity hurting China's domestic rapeseed industry. So this is big news that we are following. I know Premier Scott Moe is likely having a news conference later on today. We are looking to carry that live. But this, of course, been a topic we've been talking about a lot on this program. We've had the premier on. We've been critical. The premier has, as have you and I, about the lack of attention that the federal government has put on these Chinese tariffs. There's been a lot of focus on the trade war with the United States, while recognizing that the ag industry here in our province, but even in Atlantic Canada with the fisheries, has been absolutely impacted by these Chinese tariffs, which look as if they are going to get a lot worse in the next couple of days. So we'll continue to follow this story. Again, Premier Moe looking to have a news conference later today, probably around lunchtime. So we will look at carrying that live for you as well and keep you up to date. Happy to include you and your thoughts on that if you want to call in. It is open lines for you now, 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Jerry in Regina. G'day, Jerry. Thanks for calling in. Your thoughts on this recent court case with the pronoun law?
Well, I don't know why anyone would even be upset, Evan. You know, my ex-wife and I took education incredibly serious, and it's my experience the majority of parents view public school as a daycare center. 20% turnout for school board elections. I graduated from F.W. Johnson in 1992, and in 1988, I knew what those teachers were about. The school is right there on Clarence Fine's Drive, so he went back 70 years with Tommy Douglas and the STF. You know, people need to look in the mirror. When you send your kids off to Caesar, don't be crying and shocked when they come home as Romans. They did it to themselves.
So you're saying parents need to be more involved, and that's part of the challenge here?
They are more involved, if you've ever been in the hockey community, they are more involved with little Johnny's ice time at 7 years old than they are what's going on in that classroom. They think that classroom is a big joke. You should talk to teachers what it's like to try to educate these kids, okay? It starts in the home. And when you've got a bigger force at play, so we'll talk about, I'll call in on Friday and tell you about the 27th premier of China, Mark Carney. When you've got bigger forces at play, there's things going on in that classroom that have very, very little to do with education.
Sure. Well, Sorry, Jerry. I jumped in a little quick there. I appreciate, as always, appreciate your call and your perspective. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of people texting in on the line. Basically, the general feeling of many of the texters on the line is parents need to be involved in these decisions. So, you know, again, this isn't necessarily reopening the case of should this law be going ahead or not. It's really, is it constitutional or not? Does it infringe upon rights or not? Many people are of the opinion parents absolutely should be involved in these discussions, need to be included in it. I saw there was a message here from someone who worked in the schools, and I always appreciate those messages because the perspective is obviously there. Here it is. What's the law in changing a name? I was the secretary in a school for many years. If parents asked me to change a child's name, I could not do it without a change of name form that was filed with the government along with a $100 fee. Has that changed? A child could add a nickname, but the birth certificate name is what we had to use. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open for you. As I mentioned, we also continue to follow the story of this additional 75.8% tariff on Canadian canola seed that's going to begin as of Thursday of this week. So this just announced this morning. And again, this is the preliminary result of the anti-dumping investigation that the Chinese Ministry of Commerce launched back in September of 2024. We've gone back and forth on this issue, you and I, on this program, recognizing that the tariffs that the Canadian government put on Chinese vehicles was likely what sparked this trade war with China, and it continues to have serious impacts on Canadian agriculture, which, of course, disproportionately affects many here in this province. The issue of back to the pronoun topic, the issue of this being put to a referendum continues to pop up on the text line as well. 1-877-332-8255 is the number, and we're happy to take your calls, your texts on what you would like to see happen. Text here saying, thanks for bringing Dwight Newman on. Always appreciate listening to his take from a constitutional standpoint. His expertise helps me understand the issue. Whether I agree or don't agree with what is going on, it's always good to at least understand. So Dale in Regina, thank you very much for that text. Okay, we're going to keep the phone lines open. The another issue that has popped up, and I cannot believe, talk about issues that have been hanging on forever, right? This pronoun law issue, of course, has been here for the last couple of years. What about this issue with the Queen of Canada in Richmond, Saskatchewan? Again, this is an issue I remember John talking about. Well, now the mayor of Richmond is again calling for help from provincial officials. It appears as though Romano Didolo and others staying at the former Richmond school pumping sewage into the park. The Queen of Canada continues to wreak havoc in small town Saskatchewan. We'll talk a little bit about that and more when we come back. You're listening to 1 hour of Open Phones here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray got a text here from Janice in Saskatoon saying, I feel like we haven't heard as much about the wildfires lately. Is the situation getting better? I just checked the website, the Saskatchewan wildfire website that gives live updates basically with the active wildfires. So we have 83 active wildfires in the province. 17 of those are not contained. We still have a number of communities that are under evacuation notice. And of course, many others are in the rebuild. Some of the residents from some of those communities are asking for a PST exemption to apply to construction labor costs associated with the reconstruction from some of the buildings, of course, destroyed during this wildfire season. A lot of whether they're residents who live up there, people that own cabins. I know the NDP has come out with a release calling on the SAS party to do that as well. Nothing determined yet. The SAS party did announce the $20 million in spending to help with basically reestablishing infrastructure, setting up a waste disposal in those communities to try and help with that. So there has been a chunk of relief money that has been destined for those communities. Nothing on the PST relief, though. But as I said, some residents are continuing to call for that. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. The phone lines are open for you. I want to grab the call here from Gene in Saskatoon. Gene, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
My concern is today's Star Phoenix shows that the city of Saskatoon wants to raise their debt ceiling from around $300 million to almost $1 billion, just under $1 billion. That means every citizen in Saskatoon would have a debt of $33 million. Mm. This city council is absolutely crazy if they think we should ever consider $1 billion worth of debt at this stage in our history and our population.
It seems to be a bit of a common theme. I know Regina actually was going through recently just making decisions on raising its debt limit as well. But it seems like at every turn, Gene, whether it's provincially, federally, even municipally, we've got this feels like unwieldy debt that we're dealing with, putting ourselves in. Of course, the cities can't run deficits, as you know, but the debt allowing them to borrow for projects. Is it a spending issue we have, Gene?
Absolutely. Yeah. We use the taxpayer as like a Visa card, and no forethought on how we're going to pay for these new projects or many projects. They get a little bit of federal government funding or provincial funding, and then but there's always a matching dollar component, which mm-hmm. might be, you know, two-thirds or a half, and we just simply can't afford some of these projects. You have to put them off.
Appreciate hearing from Gene, and when we do have our mayors on, which we will have again in the near future, mayors from both Saskatoon and Regina, good topic of discussion. The implication of increasing or raising that debt ceiling that the city operates under. 1-877-332-8255. Just before the break, I mentioned Richmond, Saskatchewan, continuing to have problems with the self-proclaimed Queen of Canada. This has to do with Romana Didolo, who is staying at the former Richmond School. Now, this has been going on for 2 years. You remember Romana, the conspiracy theorist. She declared herself as the country's queen and has actually talked and professed many violent tendencies, has talked about threats of death to police officers, to politicians, to essentially people that stand in her way. She's got some very radical thoughts and is not shy about posting them on social media. But I feel for the community of Richmond. This is a small community. This is 120 people, I believe, that live there. A typical small town Saskatchewan community who up until September of 2023 we're going about their business like any other community. All of a sudden, this cult leader moves in with her entourage. She's welcomed in by someone who owned a piece of property or still owns a piece of property in the town. Fellow by the name of Ricky Manns, who, by the way, was just charged in an altercation with the RCMP. He owns the Richmond School, initially invited Didolo to the facility. There's been meetings with politicians. I know MLA Doug Steele has met with the residents of that community, including the mayor, Brad Miller, who continues to call for help. The RCMP at one time had an actual detachment set up in the community. I don't think they do now. I've got someone from the RCMP on, I believe, Thursday this week. I think it's Superintendent Murray Chamberlain who's joining the show. So we'll have to ask Murray, what is the deal here? What can be done? So now the latest complaint is that there was illegal access to water. They were stealing water from the community. That was then cut off to the school. And now there's a hose that runs out to a park where they're pumping raw sewage into the park. The community's had to close the park to residents. People are scared. They're fearful. They're not wanting to leave their homes. It's like the whole community is being held hostage thanks to this small group of people. So we will bring this up with the RCMP later this week when we chat with them to see where things are at. I'm sure there's small communities in this province that have dealt with issues like this in the past. There must be some sort of a way that an eviction can happen. I mean, it seems simple. Obviously, it's not, or it would have happened by now. But we've reached out also to some of the council and the mayor in Richmond to see if we can get them on. And I know there's frustration. Last interview that I saw the mayor of Richmond do, he said, you know, we have been on every radio station, every TV station. We've met with politicians. We've met with police. And yet we are not having any success in getting this group, who are, again, holding our community hostage, out. Donald Trump bringing in the military to Washington, D.C., despite the fact that crime rates are actually declining there. Donald Trump is frustrated, saying this should be one of the most beautiful cities in all of the United States. Well, he said yesterday he's downright embarrassed.
Today we're formally declaring a public safety emergency. This is an emergency. This is a tragic emergency. And it's embarrassing for me to be up here. You know, I'm going to see Putin. I'm going to Russia on Friday. I don't like being up here talking about how unsafe and how dirty and disgusting this once beautiful capital was, with graffiti all over the walls. It's another part of it, by the way. Because we're talking about safety, but we're also talking about beautification. We're the most beautiful, potentially, capital in the world. We always had. But people come from Iowa, they come from Indiana, they come and then they get mugged. Not going to happen. Keep coming, because within, by the time you get your trip set, it's going to be safe again and it's going to be clean very quickly.
That was what Donald Trump said yesterday. So he's bringing the military in. This is unprecedented, but it is something that is allowed for in the Constitution. The Constitution of the United States calls for the creation of the District of Columbia to serve as a federal seat of power under the jurisdiction of Congress rather than any state. So while Home Rule Act, which was an act that was brought in a number of years ago, allows for greater local control, the president can still call up the National Guard in Washington. And this has been done before. So I say it's unprecedented. There have been instances because of something going on. So during the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020, they brought the guard in. They were called in, actually, January 6, 21. Remember the overrun of the Capitol? The guard was brought in for that. So it's Section 740 of the Home Rule Act that allows the president to take over Washington's Metropolitan Police Department for 48 hours with a possible extension of up to 30 days. Now, Trump yesterday didn't give any sense of how long he expects this to go on, but I mean, the military, not the best way likely to do this, because the military, of course, have the ability to come in and obviously stand guard and those types of things. But the nuanced delivery of service, policing service, he would have been better to use a consent decree, which is basically a rule or a law that they have in the states where the Department of Justice can basically take control of a police department. This happens time and time again in the United States. And Trump has actually been quite outspoken against using consent decrees. He's dubbed himself a supporter of police, although I think there's been a couple of times where he's done things that have been counterintuitive to that. So many people speculating, like, why not use a consent decree? It gives the Department of Justice some control over the direction and the mandate of the police service without bringing in the military, who, again, are not poised to deliver this service. So another case that we will be bringing in some different guests and experts to talk about that, the implications of that. Speaking of military, General Rick Hillier is coming up after about 10:30 this morning on the show. A number of things that we'll be checking in with the general on. And also on the show today, I mentioned Premier Mo is planning on holding a news conference later today. I think we've now heard it's likely to happen around lunchtime. So this is with regard to newly announced canola tariffs, that this is 75.8%, nearly 76% canola tariffs on Canadian canola seed that will begin as of Thursday. And yes, this is on top of the 100% tariffs that were there. Now, canola seed wasn't necessarily captured in that. It was some of the canola byproducts, the oil, the meal, those types of things. So there will be some new product that is captured by this, but not good news. Obviously, the province has got some serious concerns about this, but we knew China was doing that anti-dumping investigation. They launched it in the fall of 2024. Just today, they are saying that preliminary results show that the Canada canola industry receives government subsidies and preferential policies that lead to overcapacity, hurting China's domestic rapeseed industry. So China has deemed offside. They're coming up with this new nearly 76% tariff on Canadian canola, and we will be carrying the premier's comments live closer to lunch today. Take another break. We'll be back. Open lines continue here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. And I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored. Text line is ablaze with opinions as to whether or not the move by Donald Trump to bring the military in to clean up Washington, D.C. is the right move or not. Some people are saying, absolutely, this is what he's been doing. Others saying, yeah, I don't think so. Bringing in the National Guard to resume law and order. Don't forget that order came from a man who incited a riot at the White House where a police officer was tasered, Pete in Craven. Thanks for the text. I want to get Cal from Oxbow on. Cal, you're saying Trump's doing the right thing.
Well, good morning, Evan. I don't know if he's doing the right thing, but what I will say is that Trump is actually doing something radical to make changes. He's actually being a leader. He's actually putting Americans first, and he's actually making real decisions, which is something that Canada can't say for itself. I mean, let's be real. Canadians don't want to hear it, Evan, but we're neither strong nor free. We don't have clear leadership. We don't have trade deals. The Liberals certainly don't want us building wealth here. I mean, what have we become? I mean, at some point, you got to wonder if Carney's doing this on purpose. Like, we've just become a managed territory, you know, for the globalists and other people. I mean, I do remember the Trans-Canada Highway and the St. Lawrence Seaway were financed by the Bank of Canada interest-free at one time, and then Pierre Trudeau Sr. handed that control over the banking system, and now our government has to borrow money and pay interest. And Justin Trudeau Jr., he gave up control of the immigration system to the rules of the global body, right? And it's actually called replacement migration. People can look it up. Language is important. So we've got a lot of problems in Canada, and we have no clear leadership, and we have no plan, and we're swimming away. And I think that how long is it going to be before people that voted Liberal realize that they don't see Canadian citizens as their most important. They see their power over Canada as most important.
Can't argue with Cal about the fact that Trump is not afraid to make a decision. He's not. You might completely disagree with it, but he does make swift, decisive moves. This is just one example, bringing in the National Guard, essentially, to take control of law and order in Washington, D.C. I don't think this is going to do what he hopes it will do. There's a lot of other moves ancillary to this. Like, for example, he wants to move the homeless population out of Washington. Well, that's not as simple as just sending in the military to move them. Where are they moving them to? What is that going to look like? There's lots of nuances there. And that, I mean, that's what we're hearing from the mayor. Now, the mayor, Muriel Bowser, in D.C., a Democratic mayor. So no doubt there's some, you know, political head crashing that's going on there. But nonetheless, Cal's point is well taken that Trump is absolutely not afraid to make a decision, whether it's the right one or not. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. 1-877-332-8255. Larry in Saskatoon. We've been following this canola tariff story that's just breaking this morning. Your thoughts, Larry?
Well, the tariff supposedly has been placed on our Canadian canola oil because of what? A tariff that Canada, under the Liberals, Trudeau and Carney, have placed on electronic vehicles from China. Now, keep in mind, 2026, coming up, 20% of the vehicles by mandate have to be electronic, no zero emission vehicles till 2035 when they all are. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I don't think that's practical.
Unattainable.
But they have not made any change to that. Carney hasn't changed that regulation. So it's coming into effect pretty quick. Well, we've got the 2026 year coming up. Well, September, isn't that when they have the vehicles out for there?
So there's a
big market that China thinks they can take over because they can produce the cheapest vehicles because they've got slave labor if they want.
So you're saying, Larry, that basically the federal government's paving the way for these canola tariffs to come in. I know provincially the premier will be making an announcement on this, and we can pretty much expect what Premier Scott Moe will be saying later today. We will carry that live on the show and then, of course, be following to see what the federal government response will be as well. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.